So, I'm going to talk about a subject here, but the title of it's going to be Getting to the Root. All right, and I have, you know, that's a dandelion there, and this is prime season for dandelions, right? You look out in your yard and you can see one out there, it kind of like ruins the whole yard. Just one dandelion. So, when you think about it, there's 1.6 million people that die every year of some sort of violence. There's roughly 750,000 people in the U.S. that get divorced every year. You think that's not that bad, right? There's 331 million people in the United States. That's not that bad. That's like 0.002%. But really, when you think about it, there's only little over 2 million people that get married every year. So when you look at that number, that's like 38%. And you think, wow, well, that's still not that bad. It's only 38%. They're saying it's actually improving. But if you were investing money and you were investing $2 into some investment and they said, oh, by the way, right off the top, you're going to lose 75 cents of that. Great investment, right? No. So when you think about, when you look all over the world, the violence that's happening, we see it in our media every day. People getting shot, right? Racism. How many people do you know out there that are hurting because somebody's hurt their feelings? Or how about relationships go wrong? How many people are out there that are hurting because they're lonely? See, when you have a baseball team, and it say it's a professional team, is there professional teams that struggle? Yeah, of course. What happens when you have a baseball team that is just struggling? They can't get off the snide. They can't get into the win column anymore. What does the good coach do? He takes them back to the fundamentals, right? Because evidently somewhere along the line, they've tweaked something. Because right now, there are little things that they do, like touching the alma mater or rubbing their head or whatever they do isn't working anymore. That, you know, a lot of sports have these superstitions, right? Growing your beard. I'm never going to shave. How many football players or whatever you see that don't shave for the whole season because they think it's going to help them win to the Super Bowl? But my point is, a good coach takes them back to the fundamentals because that's what got them there in the first place. They were good at the fundamentals, catching, hitting, throwing. And it's so easy, even when you're good, like the professionals are in sports, to be able to lose that. Because you start tweaking here and there, right? You start doing other things and you get so wrapped up in other things, sometimes you forget those fundamentals. So today, I'm going to talk about what the Lord has given me is one of the fundamentals. And that's going to be love. You know, we had it in the worship songs, and we've heard it a lot this morning of talking about love. But love is a very fundamental thing. And we think we all have it, right? We're all good at it. But let's talk about that a little bit. You know, as a wise person used to say that I know, it's like a lollipop. Why don't you put it in your mouth and suck on it for a little bit and let's see what you taste here. So let's go to the first one here in 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 21. It says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us his Spirit, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on that, on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates his brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they haven't seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. So when you think about that, how many here get excited about, you know, having unity in the body? Or maybe having that, going out and witnessing and reaching and having a revival, right? How do we have that? You know, it seems like it's easy, right? But how many here have been hurt by somebody in a church? How many here have walls up because of somewhere along the line somebody's hurt you? You know, when you think about it, what if God had his walls up towards us? Because how many here have hurt God? You know? How many of us have done it more than once? I mean, that's why they made a song, Reckless Love, right? Because we can't understand why he keeps keeping his walls down and loving us. No matter how much we fall short, he loves us. But that's what it said here. It's because, it's not because of our love, it's because he loved us. Now, of course, he wants us to be like him, right? So when you think about that, in Acts, I don't have this one up on there, so I'm just going to kind of read this one. It's Acts 2. I'm going to read verses 44 through 46 here. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved. So what do you have to do to be able to sell all your possessions and give it to somebody who's in need? Love, right? So it can happen. It happened here in the book of Acts. They were selling all their possessions and giving it away to people because they loved them. Because common sense would tell you that's probably not a good idea, right? What's going to happen tomorrow? So something had to drive them, and it was love. Yes. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 8. If I speak in tongues of men or angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all the mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all that I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. What? Does that mean when the guy pulls in front of you on the highway and there's no one behind you and almost runs you off the road, you can't say, hey, you're number one on the road to the highway to hell? No, you can't say that. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always preserves. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. So when you think about that, if you don't have love, you don't have anything. So that means that college degree you may have, if you don't have love, what is it worth? What about your 401k? What about, you know, your family? You got to have love. It is saying it right here. You need to have love. And love doesn't fail. We know we fail, but God's love does not fail. There is not a place that you can be taken away from it. There's no court that can order it not to be there. There's no prison that can keep it from you or keep you away from it. There is nothing anybody can do. They can put you in bondage. They can cut you. They can do whatever they want. People can reject you, but God's love never fails you. It will always be there. And when we think about that, he wants us to be like that. And the Lord's kind of, he kind of gave this to me, this message, I don't know, about 3.5-4 months ago. And he gave it to me, and I didn't know at the time I was going to speak. And I said, Lord, are you wanting me to talk about this? And the very next day, Kirk texts me and says, hey, can you speak on April 18th? I really think the Lord is trying to tell us something. It's so easy to get caught up in the weeds, right? But just suck on that lollipop on love. What does it mean? How do we do it? Again, 1.6 million people die of violence. Is there love in violence? No. Let's go to Mark 12, verses 28 through 31. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating, noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer. And he asked him, of all the commandments, which is the most important? The most important one, answered Jesus, is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. None. He's saying there's none. God, then your neighbor. Because we just found out if you don't love your neighbor, who you can see, How can you love God? So that even means that guy who did wrong to you, who stole from you. Man, that seems kind of hard, right? But it says if you can't love that person who you can see, how can you love God? But what about that person who, you know, there's so many people out there that don't even have a father in their life. Maybe not even parents at all. Maybe they're in foster care. What about that? We need to have love. So let's go to Matthew 5, 43 through 48. All right, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, and that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect. Therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. What? Perfect? How many here are perfect? I know how to solve this problem here. Let me take care of this. Problem solved. No, it doesn't work that way, unfortunately. When you think about it, his love is perfect. I don't have it up on the slides, but let's read the definition of perfect. Being entirely without fault or defect, satisfying all requirements, corresponding to an ideal, standard, or abstract concept, faithfully reproducing the original. Think about that. That is what the Lord is wanting from us. You know, it can be very hard to be able to do that. And I get that. And we can always say, hey, I'm giving it the good old college try, right? Or I'm doing my best. But that's not what the Lord's asking. He knows that you're not perfect. He knows that we have faults. He knows we are only but dirt. But he wants to know that your heart is in it to try to be perfect. To strive to be able to be that way. Not saying, how many of you think is going to win a game if your team runs out there and says, hey, let's go, maybe we might have a chance to win. No, they're going out there with the anticipation that we're going to win. Right? If you want to have a chance, if you already walk out defeated, then you're already defeated. So the Lord is saying, be perfect. Walk out with that concept of winning and not with the concept of you're already going to fail at love. Just think about that. You know, what if it happened like this? What if when you were going to your prayer closet or prayer room or wherever you go to pray, that this conversation was happening up in heaven? As you were going to pray, this was the conversation. Oh, quick, Gabriel, here he comes again. Quick, shut off the lights, pull the blinds, and shut the door. Maybe he won't know we're home. Oh, man, it's too late. He's already talking. Oh, he just sucks the life out of me every day. Want, 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 need, need, need. Does he ever give anything back? What if the Lord was like that? Or better yet, maybe he does one of these things. Maybe he does this. You know, maybe. Of course he doesn't. Because his love is perfect. It never fails. How many times have we done that, though? Look, I'm not trying to beat you down. But just like that baseball team, that coach is trying to get their team back on track. Not saying that you're not. But just think about it. It's a fundamental. We should always be practicing the fundamentals, right? And one of them I see is love. Because God is love. That's what it says. God is love. And if we want to be like God, because we're going to be part of his family, right? His children. What does that mean? We have to be like love. Now, this next slide here is going to have a scripture reference on there. If they put it all right there, is 1 Peter 4:7. That's not, that is the one I want, but the words is not right if I remember. Where did I lose my place here? Sorry. The one I want to read is going to be 1 Peter 4:7-10. All right. Let's see here. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gifts he has received to serve others faithfully, administering God's grace in its various forms. So love covers over a multitude of sins. Is that like a get out of jail free card? Well, I did all these sins, so if I love somebody, that erases them? No, that's not what it means. What it means is, if you love, you can avoid a multitude of sins. The Lord is trying to help us out here. He said, love each other so you can avoid those multitude of sins that are going to come. Because if you don't love, those can come. Proverbs 10, verses 12. Hatred stirs up conflict, but love covers over all wrongs. There it is again. Love covers over all wrongs. Because if you love, the wrongs won't happen. And in 1 Corinthians 16:14, do everything in love. When you think about it, the Lord is really talking to us about love. He is love, and he wants us to be just like him, and he wants us to love. And I get it. I live in the real world just like each and every one of you. People pull out in front of me. People do wrong to me at times. But he's asking us to love each other. And when we want to try to avoid hurt relationships, we want to be unified in the body, right? How do we want to go out and disciple people if we can't have love? What drives you? What drives you to want to share the gospel if you don't love? It's your love that person's going to go to hell. You don't want them to go there, right? It's the love that he's given to you. Without it, what would we be? If he didn't give us love, what would we have? If he didn't send his son, would we have that atoning sacrifice? No, of course. That's why he loves us. So, I'm going to wrap it up here. I just wanted to, like again, the Lord put it on my heart, is getting to the root How many times have we had things come up, right? And what could have love done to resolve that problem, that issue, that insecurity, those walls? I'm going to tell you, I'm a person who, my dad was an alcoholic, and I had a lot of walls up. But no one would ever know it. To know me, you would have thought that I was a good guy and that I loved everybody. But you never got all of me. And when you think about love, what is that? Is that part? Is that surface? Or is that everything?
Everything.
It's everything. But what does that mean? That means I had to put myself out there, right? To where I was vulnerable. Oh, who does that sound like? The Lord, right? He loves us. But he's not vulnerable because he's God, but he still puts himself out there. And he's asking us to do the same thing. Put yourself out there. Let your walls down. Because how can you disciple somebody? How can you reach somebody if you don't do that? How can you have a relationship with somebody? How can we be unified without love?